Got another great guest to talk to you soon, and then we're also going to catch up with Jules. But the Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with DG East, independent new and used vehicle suppliers and services supplying car and light commercial vehicles, utilising a majority of the UK-based leasing operators' services. You can find out more about our partners DG East by going to their website, which is www.dgeast.co.uk, and we thank them for their support of the Business Bunker Show. Here's just a quick update on the South East Construction Expo. The expo will be live at the South of England Event Centre on the 21st of October 2021. But because we have the technology, we're also going to be live streaming the event. And this is what that means. If you're exhibiting, you will, in addition to your stand, get an online presence in a virtual booth, totally free, so loads more construction businesses can see your products and services. If you're a visitor, you'll have a fantastic networking opportunities both live at the expo and by visiting our virtual networking room. This is where you can connect to both virtual and live attendees. The speaker sessions will be streamed live if you're attending or virtually attending, and if you miss any of the speakers, there will be live recordings available for you to catch up. The South East Construction Expo is where you find out about major projects and investment opportunities. You can hear from industry-focused speakers sharing high-value content. There's a free Meet the Buyer with top UK construction companies. There are live demos of great new innovative products. There's how to profit from the many new ways of modern construction and meet thousands of construction businesses and get involved in some great networking. If you want to find out more, you can go to the website constructionexpouk.co.uk, or you can drop them an email at info@constructionexpouk.co.uk. So that's constructionexpouk.co.uk, and the event is taking place on the 21st of October this year. So do check that out if you're in the construction industry. Okay, we caught up with Adrian Kearney of AK Pet Services. I'm afraid the quality of the line wasn't that brilliant, so do bear with us while we listen to what Adrian had to say. It's a pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show Mr. Adrian Kearney. Adrian, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show. It's lovely to see you.
Yeah, it's great to be on here again.
Yeah, it's lovely to see you. You normally make an annual visit to the Bunker Show, normally round about November time or October time, to talk about pets and fireworks. But we've decided to talk to you earlier in the year this year about something completely different. But just for those that don't know, give us an overview about Adrian and AK Pet Services.
Well, basically, my service is transporting people and their animals to the vets, catteries, kennels, specialists, that type of thing. People without transport or vet.
Right, okay. So you kind of operate in a kind of ambulance taxi service for people and their pets.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing that, Adrian?
8 years now.
Okay, cool. What made you start that business?
Basically because I was told that a lot of taxi firms, unfortunately, were letting people down, would turn up and say, "Oh, I'm not taking that dog, it's too big." Or, you know, to be fair to the taxi drivers, then, you know, they've got to look at cleaning the cab after they've taken an animal, because the next person they could take could be allergic to the fur and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so I looked at it and basically started it from after looking into it and getting my license and registered with DEFRA.
Right. You actually started a specific service with a vehicle specifically built to do that. Yeah. And you've got full licenses to transport animals.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So what I want to talk to you about, Adrian, is how it's been, you know, since this pandemic started. And of course, we've had lots of restrictions on what we can do. So what's the situation been like for people and their pets?
It's been quite tough through the pandemic because obviously vets have had to abide by the guidelines. Oxygen was a little bit short over a period of time because obviously oxygen was being used for hospitals and stuff like that. So yeah, the vets were limited on what oxygen they were allowed. So a lot of routine operations had to be put on the back burner. Vaccinations had to be put on the back burner. So there were a lot of vets started off only just doing emergencies only.
Right.
So obviously that affected my business as well as, you know, the veterinary practices.
Right. Okay. So we've had these kind of structural problems. How have you found it in terms of people themselves? Have people been reluctant to send their pets away, or, you know, what's kind of been happening?
Yeah, there's people have been very, very worried about their pets because obviously because of this thing about just emergencies, and obviously what I've had to do is try to reassure them, take their animal in for them, because, you know, they were frightened about going out of the house themselves. So I had to work a procedure out how I got the animal, put it in the vehicle, got it to the vets, explained what was wrong with the vet, you know, to the vet,
yep,
what was wrong with the dog or cat, and then obviously do the same procedure on the way back home, getting the pet, you know, pet back to the client, plus obviously any medication to be delivered. Yeah.
So it's not been easy, and I can imagine. I mean, and I guess quite a few of your clients are older people that don't have the wherewithal to, yes, take their own pets away. So they're going to
That was a very hard bit because obviously it was very hard not being able to go into the house to obviously pick the pet up. Mm. You were having to get the owner to put it in like a cat basket, and then put it just outside the door, and I could take it from there. So maybe after, when I brought the pet back and having a cup of tea with them and explaining the medication, so all those things had to go out the window, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that must have made it an awful lot more difficult, both for you and, yeah, for them.
Yes, and what I've tried to do is, you know, keep eye on those type of people that, you know, are elderly, are vulnerable, haven't got family around them,
yeah,
and phoning every so often, checking that they're okay,
yeah,
really, and, you know, keeping in touch with them that way.
Yeah, I mean, because this has been a hallmark of part of your service, really, hasn't it, for a long time. It's not just the transporting, yeah, of pets. It's basically having relationships with people that are otherwise on their own, and, you know, making sure they're okay and making sure their pets are okay.
Yeah. It's all the in between bits that's, yeah, been hard to do.
For sure. The link we've got isn't working too well, Adrian, so I don't want to keep you too much longer because we're kind of breaking up a little bit, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah,
I mean, where are things now? How do you see things unfolding now? I mean, we've got a kind of plan that we're starting to move out of this. How are you affected by that? What can you do next?
Well, hopefully the vets will open up a bit more once we get to April. So, you know, that's a big step forward. And obviously, hopefully, you know, a program of vaccinating animals will obviously need to be done. We've started doing that with a lot of vets. They're having cat clinics or dog clinics to try and play catch-up with vaccinations, because typically a cat can go a month past its renewal date and a dog can go up to 3 months.
Right.
So once they've gone past those periods, then they've got to start the process again. So they have to start from the start.
Yeah, so it's a bit like human and their vaccines. We have a vaccine like tetanus, and then you have it topped up And if you don't have it topped up within a certain time, you have to have the full cab again. Yeah, no, I get that. I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're approaching that with some people and their pets. So presumably that's... Yeah, so the next thing we've got to do is get that unfolded. Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously what concerns me is all these people that obviously have got puppies, and they're coming to that stage where they're going into adult dog, and then people start going back to work, but, the dogs don't start getting dumped because they wreck the house because no one's around at in the house anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's, scenario I'm worried about that, obviously, because even dog training hasn't been able to operate either. So a lot of people that would have had puppies would have gone to dog training to train their dog properly. All I would say to people, if you have got a puppy, try and go out and leave them for, an hour, then come back. So they get used to you going out the door and you're not around with them, because otherwise, suddenly it's going to be, we'll all go back to work, poor dogs stuck indoors for 4 or 5 hours and, wrecks the place because, it doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, and they're not used to being left alone, yeah.
No.
Exactly. It's odd, isn't it? We don't think about any of these ramifications about what's been going on and how it disrupts the normal way of being. As you've identified, there's loads of things that we have to do to try and unwind what's going on. Adrian, well, thanks for talking to us about this.
Yeah.
Let's just quantify a few things. You offer this service. Yeah. You're based in Medway yourself.
Yeah.
How far out do you go?
Customers? I basically am available 24/7. I cover the whole of Kent, but I do referral centres. Like on average, I go once a month down to Fitzpatrick's, the super vet guy, and take animals down to him, and his practice obviously recommends me to take people from Kent down to him.
Fantastic. So you cover the whole of Kent. You're available 24/7. It's a fabulous service. Yeah. You offer. Yeah. If people want to find out more about AK Pet Services, what's your website, Adrian?
It's www.akpetservice.co.uk.
Fantastic. We'll put a link to that on the Business Bunker website so people can find it. Keep on doing what you're doing. You offer a fabulous service for people, and I know you're a very caring chap, and not just about animals, but about their owners too. And you, when you're allowed, you offer a fantastic service, especially to older members of the community that probably don't see other people. So, Adrian, thank you so much for joining us. It's lovely to talk to you again. Stay safe, and let's hope we get out of this soon.
Yeah, I hope so. You stay safe as well, Paul. One other thing I'd like quickly to mention before we sign off is I'd like a big thank you to all the vets and nurses for their dedication and hard work of caring for their people's animals in this pandemic.
Fantastic. Absolutely. And I couldn't agree with you more. And they've been under a lot of strain because a lot of vets have been helping vaccinate humans as well, haven't they?
Yes, and obviously the veterinary profession, vets is one of the highest rates for suicide because I think the amount of pressure they get put under.
Yeah, absolutely. Our thanks and our appreciation to all those people that work in those fields, as you say. Adrian, thank you so much. Take care, my friend, and we'll see you again soon.
Yeah, cheers. Bye.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Welcome back. Adrian Kearney there of AK Pet Services. I'm sorry about the quality of the line. We had a real struggle with that, with trying to get the line to work properly. But I hope you got the gist of it. And we've had some feedback as well. Jill says, it's great to hear from our business bunker friend, AK Pet Services. Brilliant pet transport service, absolutely. And Vicky of Pink Spaghetti says, really good point about new dog owners going back to work and leaving their animals by themselves all day. I wonder how many people haven't thought about that. Absolutely, you know, especially if they're puppies, whatever, they won't have been left alone before. And all of a sudden, they're going to find themselves on their own for probably up to 8 hours. So very much worth thinking about. Martin from Charity Buddies also tweeted, and he's just said, just had a message from Goddington Park, that's in Ashford, Goddington Park Food Bank, making sure our vulnerable neighbours are well stocked with essentials as we come out of lockdown. And he says, our local community, as in many other communities, has shown a fantastic Great British spirit throughout this pandemic. Absolutely. We are a very community orientated society, that's for sure, and that is really good. Cool. Guess what? It's that time again when we have to listen to the ranting of the Jules. So, without any further ado, let's join Jules.
Hey, guess what? It's that time of the week again when I catch up with the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin. Hello.
Wearing spring green, Mr. Andrews,
spring
today.
Spring greens?
Spring...
is that like cabbage?
No, spring green. You know, spring has sprung. We've had the equinox and my toes are out for the first time for 100 years.
And the clocks have gone forward and all that kind of nonsense.
Yeah, British summertime, BST.
Yeah,
I just wrote for the first time... for a year, BST on my Twitter.
Did you?
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
And it was a lovely feeling because we do all feel better outside in the sunshine, don't we?
Yeah, well, you've been eating crab as well.
Yeah, I have, from the harbour, not just any crab, from Whitstable Harbour.
Cool.
And I went
local?
To war.
Did I catch them locally?
I think it might be Kentish crab.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it was very fresh. And do you know what I long for, Paul Andrews? Apart from holidays. I long for a sandwich, you know, a crab sandwich, because, you know, I don't really eat bread because of my thyroid. I avoid grains, which makes me feel much more lively. But I long for a crab sandwich. And I was just saying to somebody on Twitter that on my deathbed, I've already planned my meal. I've told my new husband what I want on my deathbed. I'm going to have... a great big Chinese takeaway,
right.
The whole works, because
right.
It's all gluten and soy and all stuff that makes not very perky. I'm going to have a Chinese takeaway, and then I'm going to have an Indian takeaway. And then I'm going to have a bacon sandwich on soft, fluffy white bread with thick butter and brown sauce and at least 4 rashers with the fat left on. All squished and cut in a triangle.
Right, okay.
I mean, it's worth dying for, really, you know.
yeah, absolutely. Anyway, going back to the crab, brown or white meat?
Oh, do you know, I find that a very difficult question. I think I do love the brown. I really love the brown. And then when you taste the white, it's very fresh, isn't it? And you think you really love the white. So I would just err in favour of both.
It's interesting.
And I do like my own half crab, because with the new husband, we tend to, you know, I'd like half each, really.
Yeah. It's interesting. I like a crab salad. It's interesting. Crab is one of the lowest calorie foods there is. It's very low calorie. Yeah. It's very healthy.
And are you white or brown meat?
I prefer the white. I do eat the brown, but I prefer white meat. Yeah. The white meat is even less calorie than the brown meat.
Is it really?
Yeah.
And it's so good for your brain and everything.
Do you know how many calories there are in a crab?
It depends on the size of the crab, I'd have thought.
Yeah, well, a normal size crab that you'd eat. Yeah, about that big. He says, when the listeners can't look at him. How many? Go on, how many calories? Go on, have a guess.
That a six, was that a six-incher you just showed me?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, because you know they can shrink with pollution. I said,
yeah, I saw your tweet on that. I think that's a cock and bull story myself, but there you go.
Yeah, and I saw Martin White's reply as well, which was quite
funny. I don't ever believe anything he says. Anyway, go on. Yeah,
six-inch crab.
Yeah. How many calories in the meat?
160.
Close, 85.
Oh, very low indeed.
Yeah, very low. It's one of the lowest things there is, yeah.
But then if you have that with a bottle of wine, as I do, and mayonnaise, it all goes steadily downhill, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When we were in Mevagissey in the days when we were allowed to travel down in Cornwall, you'll remember that, my little foray down there, and we absolutely loved it. And we met a chap, a fisherman down in Mevagissey. It's a small fishing village.
Yeah.
And we met him, we made friends, and he actually bought us a huge crab. I'll try and dig out the photo, off his boat, and it was quite a lot of money, but we got the local pub to cook it for us, and we had it with chips. I'll say chips, not fries. We had it with chips and mayo and a big salad, and it was absolutely delicious. And there was a local, an old boy, who was hanging out his window watching us, watching the foreigners try and eat this crab. He said, "You don't want to do it like that. Hang on a minute. I'll come down with me crab claw and me hammer." And he came down with his hammer out his garage.
taking pity on the grockles.
And he was like hammering it with his claw hammer to get every little thing out. But you know, these are memories, and that was just such a memorable meal, and we took hours over it. We had cider, and it was very pleasant.
Well, interestingly, I mean, as you know, I had a home in Cornwall for many years, a place called Rock, just around the corner from Port Isaac. And Dennis Knight, who owned the fishing boats in Port Isaac, was a great one for lobster, crab, John Dory.
I love John Dory.
Yeah. And those of you listening will know Port Isaac. If you've watched, what is it, Doc Martin on TV?
Yeah, yeah.
That is actually set in Port Isaac.
You say Doc or Gok?
Doc.
You're right, because there's a Gok one, and there's who does dress.
No. There's it's a drama.
Doc Martin, yeah.
Yes,
it's Martin Clunes, isn't it?
That's him, yeah.
He's got a face. I always think he's got a face like a sort of upside-down baby.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, that's set in Port Isaac. And Dennis Knight owned the fishing boats there and had a where his fishing boats were moored and his sheds, they had a fresh fish market. So they come in with the fresh fish and then sell them straight off the back of the boat.
Amazing.
Unbelievably. Unbelievably good quality, lovely place.
Yeah.
So the point of raising all this is, of course, now our glorious fascist government have decided that we can't go on holiday. We all get fined £5,000 if we try and go away anywhere overseas.
Hang on a minute, though. I've just seen Prince Charles and lovely Camilla are in Greece on holiday.
Yeah. Well, there's some caveats. If you're rich and famous, you can go on holiday.
And
it's
the
rest of us. Of us that can't go.
I was a bit incandescent, and you know, I don't often get incandescent.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought they're not really, the Pope is not really, I mean, as lovely as he is, he's not really setting an example, is he, by travelling, surely?
Well, the whole thing's nonsense, isn't it?
And Prince Charles, he's not, where is the, if we plebs have to stay at home, how can they, even if they're working, they can do it by Zoom, surely?
Yeah.
Pope was doing his sermons by Zoom, wasn't he?
Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason to any of this. It's just nonsense. But anyway, my point was that as we're not allowed to go unless you can afford it and paying the £5,000 fine, we're going to have to holiday at home. So those of you that don't live in Kent can come to Kent for your holidays, and those of us that do live in Kent can go to Cornwall for our holidays. That was the point I was making.
Can you please not come to Tankerton Slopes, because it's already packed?
Is it?
No, it makes me a bit upsetting now.
Viking Bay, that's where you need to go.
Yeah, that's lovely. Reculver is lovely, but that's getting quite busy. Actually, Westgate is really nice. Westgate, Birchington, around there, although Thanet Council are not good on opening toilets.
So yeah, I've seen you ranting about toilets recently.
Well, I do take my shiwi, but then if there's people around, you can't really shiwi on the promenade.
Although one of the things that really does annoy me about this country is when
there's
you
quite a few, aren't there?
Yeah, no, but this is my biggest one: is the people that vandalise toilets, public toilets. Yeah, it's why we don't have any, because they get repeatedly vandalised, and I just don't understand the mentality of that.
And they steal the toilet paper.
Yeah,
I know it is. The mentality is. I get your meaning. On a positive note, Paul Andrews. The Superior Show was on this morning at Scoff and Quaff.
Yeah.
And I had Peter Ducker on, who's the chief executive of the Institute of Hospitality.
Yep.
Also, another couple of lovely guests, Johnny Wren of Songbird Wines and Greg Chick of an Airbnb and a bistro in Ash,
right,
which is just outside Canterbury. And we were talking, because we're allowed to dine al fresco on the 12th of May. And we're allowed to, 12th of April.
Yep.
And then on the 17th of May, we're allowed to go indoors.
Yep.
My point is,
it's a long wait.
Have you booked anything?
No.
Because I've booked for my birthday, which is May 26th at Reed's in Faversham. Mm. But I guess we'll only be allowed six again.
Yeah.
Paltry six. But the alfresco is difficult, isn't it? Because you don't want to mess restaurants around, but you could wake up in the morning, it'd be howling wind and freezing cold or raining. So I feel a bit rotten, so I haven't booked anything.
Well, funnily enough, we had this conversation last night in a board meeting. I'm chairman of Kenwood Enterprises, the charity just outside Maidstone. And, we're hemorrhaging money because we haven't been open for nearly a year, and we need to reopen our grounds and our bistro and our coffee shop, and we were talking about whether we do open for al fresco coffee and snacks, and we had a big thing going in afternoon teas, and the problem is, if you open for that al fresco and the weather's cold or worse still raining, no one's going to come. Even if they book, they're not going to come and sit outside in the rain, are they?
No.
So it's really difficult to know what to do with that.
And then all your scones get old and battered. Yeah.
And interestingly, though, I've seen a lot, not on eating out per se, but Saga, for instance, and one of the airlines have both come out now with things that says, book your holiday and we've got a no quibble refund policy.
Yeah.
So basically what they're doing is saying, look, if it gets cancelled, then we'll just give you your money back.
Which makes sense. And also they're talking about if you're injected, if you've had your vaccine on Saga anyway.
Yeah.
I think they were saying we welcome everyone that's had their vaccination. Mm. Have you had your vaccination yet?
No. First of April. I told you, 1st of April.
That's April Fool's Day.
I know.
They chose
that for me deliberately.
Okay, well, my mother's just finally, Ruth has finally had her second Pfizer.
Right.
Yesterday, she's 90. So, but she started going out to shops very carefully. She's just got fed up losing her independence. And every day I say, is there anything you need? I've been dropping off her every whim she gets. She just has to say, oh, I fancy, a strawberry, and it gets there. Mm. But no, she's been going into shops, and she goes in, she checks out and sees how many people are in there. And if it's empty, she goes in and she goes, whatever you do, don't tell Jules that you saw me in here, because she's banned me from going out into shops. So she's given up, I think a year.
Has she had a letter from the government?
My mum's
had a letter from the government saying she doesn't have to shield any longer.
Yes, she was waving a letter at me yesterday, but I didn't read it, to be honest. Because
that's what it says.
She's had so many letters. I mean, she must have had about eight letters.
I know, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Anyway, I'm looking forward to our fresco. I'm looking forward to meeting all our friends again. And if you have time, listener, do listen to the Scoff and Quaff show.
If you must.
The Superior Show.
Can't think of anything else to do.
I've got a little email to read, shall I?
Yeah, go for it.
So well over half of the tickets for Marsh Network Online, which is on the 31st of March, and it's at 10:30 a.m.
That'll be mañana. That'll be tomorrow, Wednesday.
Oh, mañana, yes. And that will be BST, won't it?
Oh, yeah.
Book now to reserve your place. Go to 3wsmarshnetwork.co.uk, and it is on Eventbrite as well. You'll find it there. The speaker is Richard Smith of iMasters, who will give us 10 minutes on the impact of increased screen time during the pandemic on your eyes. If you know anyone who would like to attend the meeting for the first time, they can join for free. They can email Terry at Botfield, B-O-T for Tiger, field.net for a ticket. And the last two meetings have been full with almost 40 people attending. So please book now to increase your reach across Kent and Sussex. It's a relaxed professional networking. Interesting with the eye screen, because you get that with menopause as well. Looking at the screen all the time, you get dry eye.
I was going to say, well, you get a free one. Get a free one with every menopause, do you?
No, but when you're looking at the screen more, do you suffer from dry eye?
Right, yeah, yeah.
You do?
Do I?
Yeah.
Don't think so.
Well, there you are. It's because you're a man.
I get eye strain. I get eye strain and I get neck strain sitting in front of a computer all day. Or worse still, it's actually my phone. It's not my computer. I spend like 9 hours a day on my phone.
Yeah.
You know, with Twitter and Facebook and...
Well, I remember you used to have your wrist bandaged up in that sort of very macho black thing you used to
wear. Yeah.
And then I got a lump on my wrist, but it's gone now, strangely enough. Dry eye is a big thing for me. I try and look away and blink a lot. Right. I only wear glasses for screen, really, not on my phone. There's a Kent case.
Hold on. Can't you get drops for dry eye?
You can. And, it's on my list. But you know me, there won't be any drops.
Send Ruth up the chemist. She can go out now.
Yeah, she's braver than me.
Yeah.
There won't be any drops, so it will be... you know, there'll be natural drops for me or organic ones. They won't just be any old one from the chemist.
Right, okay.
I'll have to research it. Kent-based family business, Paul Andrews, they've got a new online demand with dynamic e-commerce website. So it's Corker. What a great name. It's a corker of a name, isn't it?
It is a corker of a name, yeah.
Corker Outdoor.
They're in Paddock Wood, don't you know?
Are they?
Yeah.
Is that near you?
Yeah. Tunbridge Wells, yeah.
Okay, posh area. It's a landscaping specialist and supplier have launched a new website to meet unprecedented growth in demand for their products, because we're all at home, aren't we? We're all in our gardens. The business has rapidly risen to the challenge of meeting huge demand for their ethically sourced products, recognising that most customers start their path to purchase online. They wanted to ensure the new website acts as a one-stop shop that offered the perfect mix of products. And there's how-to content and information on there. As a business that's always taken pride in their face-to-face operation and a reputation earned on recommendation and word of mouth, they're also keen to instill their unique business personality into their digital offering. Being able to take new products and information to a wider audience is proving extremely useful for the business, they say, and their customers alike. With a countrywide shortage of mushroom compost. Did you know that, Paul Andrews?
No.
There's a shortage of mushroom compost.
Is there?
Corker has sourced a supplier for this in-demand product and are seeing a significant increase in orders online and through the business. I'm going to go, after the show, to 3ws.corker.co.uk to see if they've got any sweet peas.
Okay, right, now I'm confused now, right? I need clarification here.
Yeah, what, mushroom compost?
Yeah, is this compost to go on mushrooms or is it compost made out of mushrooms?
I think people that perhaps don't want horse poo, I expect you've got plenty of compost.
It's vegetarian compost is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah, right. It's vegan, in fact.
Vegan compost. Okay.
Got it. I reckon that's what it is. I reckon it's old mushrooms. I'll ask my gardening friend, but I'm not sure. But, I mean, you must have lots of horse manure that's well rotting now.
I've got lots of what?
Horse manure that's well rotting down now.
We sell that.
Do you got? Have you got little bags outside your house and little?
No. When I say we sell it, that's a bit not true. What we do is we get a guy that comes and takes it away, and he doesn't charge us too much to take it away because he sells it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good stuff, but it has to be well rotted.
But in this day and age, you know what life's like in this day and age. It has to be licensed. You can't just throw horse manure on your garden. You have to have a license. It has to be chemically checked to look at what's in it before you're allowed to spread it on a field.
In case there's a couple of mattresses in there and stuff like that. You know what the fly tipping's like. I mean, people pop a mattress in or an old fridge in the fly. But that's probably for a bigger business. But, you know, I know that a lot of small horse owners, you know, that have one or two ponies or horses.
Well, I have Shetland ponies.
They just pop a little bag. I like what you did there.
Yeah.
Short people. They just pop a little bag outside their house.
They're called jockeys.
They only drink champagne and eat strawberries.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Their weight down.
Exactly.
But they, those little people that have little horses, they just pop a little plastic bag outside the house and say 50p, leave it in the tin.
Yeah.
They don't do all that health and safety stuff.
Yeah, sure. But when you've got, you know, 4 tons of it, you have to do the health and safety stuff, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, it depends what you put your horse on, doesn't it? I mean, don't give them too many pony nuts. That's what I say. Smaller businesses can apply for grants, Business Bunker listener, of up to £2,000 to help them adapt to new customs and tax rules when trading with the EU. Oh my goodness, there are so many new rules. The the 20 million SME Brexit Support Fund has enabled traders to access practical support, including training for new customs, rules of origin, and VAT processes. To be eligible, businesses must import or export goods between Great Britain and the EU or move goods between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. This follows the government setting out a new timetable for introducing import border control processes to enable UK businesses to focus on their recovery. Now, the full import border control processes will soon be introduced on the 1st of January of next year, 2022, which is 6 months later than originally planned. I expect they've had to think about it a bit more. And you can go to www.kentandmedwaygrowthhub.org.uk to find out more about that. And you know what? I buy quite a lot on Amazon, Paul Andrews. I buy things, funny things, like coconut milk, organic, and what else? Tapioca grain flour things. And a lot of it now, I'm getting a little warning notice saying you may be charged an import tax. And they don't even tell you how much. So it's a bit dicey.
Yeah.
I think they need to make it clear. Are you going to be paying, you know, because some people are saying they've imported stuff recently and it's come from, you know, Sweden, for example, wallpaper, a lady was saying. And the cost of the wallpaper was expensive anyway. But she loved it. But then the tax was almost as much as the wallpaper again.
Well, there's problems because outside of Brexit, and despite what people say, this was nothing to do with Brexit, the EU last year changed their VAT rules, right? So when you sell something either into the European Union or within the European Union, the VAT is charged at the rate of the location of the person that's bought the product.
Okay, yeah.
Yep, which is mad. It's absolutely mad because if you're selling digital products, you don't even know where they are. Anyway, so that has caused a lot of grief and a lot of people have got confused because they're being asked to pay VAT in their country on something and they're confusing that with an import tax, yeah? You've got that on the one hand, but yes, there are import taxes as well, and there are export taxes and all kinds of other taxes. The whole thing is just very confused at the moment, and they need to get it sorted out.
They do. And, you know, well, I'm just really giving everybody my big wishes and hugs in the hospitality business, those who are now planning to go back, because there's a lot of fear there. Because, you know, do you buy in a haunch of venison and then it rains and therefore you can't do it? You know, you've got to have a huge freezer capacity to freeze stuff if people don't turn up.
I would imagine those premises that have got the big umbrellas and the patio heaters and maybe even a marquee, they will open. I think everybody with a small garden without any cover would be kind of mad to open. I mean, in April, it could still snow,
In May, it could still snow.
You know, I remember when I was I was a teenager.
1066,
I think it was a bit later than that. I think it was 1068, actually. We were about 18 or so, and some mates and I went away for Easter to Bournemouth. And we arrived on Good Friday, and we all went swimming in the sea on Good Friday. It wasn't the warmest thing I'd ever done, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that cold. By Easter Sunday, 2 days later, there was 2 inches of snow all over the beach.
And
you know, the weather just changed rapidly in that short space of time.
And if you're going out for a nice meal, I was saying this to my new husband, you know, his birthday is May the 5th, and I'm in a right old panic, because what I was planning was quite a humdinger in Ibiza with where my son is, my oldest son, Josh, Ibiza Fitness Foods. But obviously we can't do that now. So, you know, it's very difficult. If we stay in the garden, he'll be bored. We can only invite, you know, 3 people or something, or 6 people.
Are you trying to tell me I'm not coming?
You can't come. No, you can't.
See, there's always an upside, isn't there?
But, well, the one thing about inviting you is you're quite cheap to feed, because you're teetotal.
Yeah.
But, you know, do you really, I was saying to Gav, do you really want to go out and pay 40 quid for a meal and be worrying that it's getting cold because it's windy and not being very comfortable? And I think there's going to be a lot of people that will carry on doing the takeaways, getting really nice high-end takeaways and eating them in the comfort of their own home.
Yeah.
And certainly...
I mean, what I expect in the first phalanx of openings isn't people going out for nice meals. It's people going to the pub for a couple of pints of beer and then maybe something in a basket.
Maybe a Scotch egg.
Egg or a meat pie or, you know... you know, some crisps. I don't think many people are going to go big full on gastronomic meal.
What's the thing that you're most looking forward to on, you know, when we're allowed out? What is the first thing you're going to do apart from mow your lawn and stuff?
Try and recover my business, basically. so I've got something to go forward with. I'm looking forward to going to a restaurant and eating a nice meal in comfort. And that will be nice. It will be nice to go and visit people and see people face to face and not on a screen. And seriously, I need to be able to go back to work and try to resurrect something from the ashes that the government have made of my businesses, basically.
You'll be like the phoenix.
Hopefully.
Rising from the ashes.
Absolutely. We're talking about rising. We got to rise now because we've reached the end of this.
Very quickly, yes.
Yeah. So good to talk to you. Stay safe.
I will. And I'd love to hear from all the Business Bunker listeners about where they're planning to go on the 12th of April, al fresco, if they're planning to support their local little restaurant or bistro. Okay.
Give us a tweet. Tweet us in. Tweet at Vanilla Web. Tweet at Jules Sirkin. Hashtag BBunker. Tell us what you're looking forward to as we unfold.
And we'll have pictures as well, please.
Yeah.
Photos.
For the moment, good to talk to you. Take care. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
That was the barking mad Jules Sirkin. I've just had a tweet from Martin Reeves of Charity Buddy, and he says, my wife has just gone to get our kids from school and giving me some washing jobs, but she walked in when you were both talking about crabs, and then Jules mentioned her she-we. And my wife said, what the hell are you listening to? As she knows it's supposed to be a local business show. I know, what can you do with her? You can't. There's nothing you can say, really, Martin, is there? She's, I don't know. And Jules has responded to that. I do like to deviate. yeah. Say no more. We'll ignore her. Okay. £10 million has been given to help children in Kent. Arran Estates, which is the parent company of Ward's estate agents, Kent-based estate agents, has given financial support to ill children for 18 years. And in that time, they've awarded over £10 million. Josephine McCartney, who's the chief executive of the Kent Community Foundation, said the foundation has been administering charitable funds for Arran Estates since 2003, and we're delighted to have distributed an incredible £10 million on their behalf to children with physical disabilities, long-term illnesses and or life-limiting conditions. The £10 million awarded from the Ward's Charitable Fund and the Rooney Foundation Fund has made a huge difference to the lives of hundreds of children and their families in Kent and Medway. And we are so grateful to them for donating such an amazing sum of money to help so many children over the last 18 years. David Lynch, who's the Group Managing Director of Arran Estates, said, we've worked with Kent Community Foundation since 2003, and they've helped manage our charitable funds so that they go to the causes we believe in and want to support. Four-year-old Clarence Saunders from Canterbury suffers from Chiari malformation, which has hugely affected his mobility over the last 3 years. The Saunders family was awarded £300 to buy a special needs buggy to make the most of the limited access to outdoor space during the pandemic. As well as grants going directly to individual children like Clarence, the Ward's Charitable Fund and the Rooney Foundation Fund also supports organisations working with groups of children. Last year, Hextable-based charity We Are Beams applied for help from the Ward's Charitable Fund to cover the cost of replacing a nursing bench to change, bathe and dress some of their more severely disabled young people at their Dragon's Retreat Respite Centre. They were awarded £4,800 and were able to buy this crucial piece of equipment. Josephine McCartney continued, the Ward's Charitable Fund and the Rooney Foundation Fund are just two of the over 80 philanthropic funds that we manage, and we would love to connect with other individuals or businesses who might be considering charitable giving. There are thousands of small charities, families and individuals in Kent and Medway who need financial support, and where a small grant will make a huge difference. If you'd like to learn more about donating to good causes across Kent and Medway, you can visit their website, which is kentcf.org.uk. That's kentcf.org.uk. What an uplifting story, and well done to Arran Estates. £10 million is a fabulous, huge amount of money to help people that need their help in Kent and Medway. Maidstone Council is providing guidance to help eligible sports facilities reopen to the public at the end of this month. From the 29th of March, outdoor-only organised sports facilities and children's activities will be legally allowed to resume. Businesses will be required to carry out a COVID-19 risk assessment, as well as providing a COVID-secure environment by ensuring households do not mix, face coverings are worn, and any necessary indoor facilities such as toilets can be used safely. The Mid-Kent Services team has produced guidance relevant to each of these three sectors, and it's all available on the Maidstone Council website. The reopening of these three sectors is the next stage in the government's roadmap out of lockdown, an important step in restarting the economy. Businesses are reminded that the guidance is based on the latest government legislation at the time it was created. All business operators should regularly check and follow the government guidance for their specific sector. It's important to consider each premises and business individually and put in any appropriate measures to make them COVID secure. For more information on detailed government guidance, please visit www.gov.uk/guidance/coronavirus. That's www.gov.uk/guidance/coronavirus. And you can find out all the guidance there on opening up safely from now on, unless things change. And let's hope they don't. Or if they do change, they change for the better. I've still got a few tweets coming in, I do believe. Jules is... hold on. Oh, they're being silly now. She said, I like to deviate. Martin says, I've not heard of that. What's it taste like? Rebecca Nutt, Serenity Becker, has been on as well, saying, what a great show it was. Thank you, Becca. I'm glad that you found it useful. A bid to open a farmer's market on the edge of Canterbury has been redrawn after the City Council refused the scheme on grounds that it would urbanise a rural area. Candy Co, the firm behind the plans for the former Bygones Reclamation Yard off Nackington Road, is having a second stab at trying to get the project to go ahead. What they're proposing, the proposed marketplace is hoped to become a go-to destination for locally sourced produce, selling a range of goods, as well as boasting a cafe for light lunches and breakfasts. Rather than having farmers and customers having to travel to different locations to buy and sell their items, the new development is envisaged to have a synergy and combination of similar traders in one location. So let's hope they can get that together and everybody can approve that scheme and make it work for the greatest number of people. That would be really great. Awards celebrate hard work, success, and a great PR for your organisation. If you're a business based in the Maidstone or Ashford area, you can apply for the Ashford or Maidstone Business Awards 2021. There are a number of categories in each award. You can self-nominate, and I do believe there's going to be a joint awards dinner scheduled for November this year at the Great Danes Hotel at Hollingbourne. If you'd like to find out more about the awards, which I believe are sponsored by Agilis Mobile, then go to the website businessawardskent.co.uk, businessawardskent.co.uk, and you can find out all about the Ashford and Maidstone Business Awards 2021. And it will be nice to get back to some face-to-face events such as award dinners. I've missed them greatly over the last year. But we've reached the end of another show. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. We'll be back with another show next week. In the interim, stay safe, everyone, and we'll see you all soon. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.